addressing the elephant in the room means. If you don't, let me clarify. If there's an elephant in the room, you know there's an elephant in the room, and you can't ignore it. But time and time again, there are things, there are situations, there are circumstances that go on, and they're in the room, they're in the place where we're at, and we just ignore it. And you ignore an elephant in the room at your own peril. And so, I don't want to ignore the elephant in the room. I don't want to ignore the fact that there are issues that need to be addressed. And I'm not saying that this is unique to the Vineyard in Enniskillen or the Vineyard anywhere, but it's in all churches everywhere. But we need to address it. We need to deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, we let it go. And we become passive. And that's not what the church is called to be. Firstly and foremostly, we need to... We're going to look at gossip today. And it needs to be addressed. Because gossip is bad. It's sinful. It's poison. And it pulls things apart. It tears the church apart. And the Hebrew word translated gossip in the Old Testament is defined as one who reveals secrets. One who goes about as a talebearer or scandalmonger. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. And it's distinguished from sharing information in two ways. Intent. Gossipers often have the goal of building themselves up by making others look bad and exalting themselves as some kind of repositories of knowledge. So, gossipers sometimes have the intent of making themselves look good, making other people look bad. But then about the type of information that they share isn't always good. They speak of the faults and the failings of other people or reveal potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others without their knowledge or approval. Even if they mean no harm, it's still gossip. And it hurts people. People already... I don't think there's anybody in this room that at points you don't feel the best about yourself. And then when you start to hear that people are talking about you, we're not a big church. If it happens in this church, you hear about it. We don't live in a big town. And when it happens in a town this size, you hear about it. When they even start putting it in the newspapers here, it's bizarre. But that's the last thing we need. We don't need other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be going away and talking about other people behind their backs. It's just no the way that it's meant to be done. And several passages in 1st, 2nd Timothy and in Titus indicate that malicious gossips are not to be tolerated in the church. And you could say, well, is it malicious? Whether it's malicious or not, is it gossip? It's not to be tolerated in the church. And amazingly, I don't know if you knew this, but this is amazing, that the term that we translate malicious gossip, the word is diabolos, which is the exact same word that is translated devil. Whose work is malicious gossip? No. It's not the Lord's work. It's not his plan. It's not what he has set out for us to do. A malicious gossip is a slanderer, one who spreads stories, true and false, that hurt and bring pain to others. Listen, if somebody comes and tells you something, it's good to keep that private. It's good to keep a hold of that personally and no go and share that with other people. But we're going to look at that in a wee while. So, gossip, a definition, I like this. Sharing information which damages another person's reputation with those who have no need to know. Sometimes people tell us stuff and it's these wee juicy tidbits and we like it and, oh, we have to tell somebody else. You really don't. That's not the character of Jesus. That's who we are aiming to replicate. Little Christians, little Christs, that's what we are trying to be. And then we do stuff like that. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Everybody does it at time. And it's damaging. It hurts. And it tears churches apart. It brings people down. And it makes them feel worse than they already felt. Before, in the book of Romans, Paul reveals the sinful nature and the lawlessness of mankind. And he talks about a lot of different things in there. But he talks about how God poured out his wrath on people that rejected his laws. And there's, you can read Romans chapter 1 yourself later on, but if you read through it, it's hard hitting. It's worded quite strongly. He doesn't beat around the bush. We have a clear role model for no beating around the bush. So let's stop beating around the bush. If something needs to be addressed, let's address it. What is the elephant in the room? If there's one elephant in the room, you can see it. What if there's half a dozen? I thought as Christians we addressed things. I thought as the church we showed love, grace, compassion, mercy to one another. We don't do stuff like that. There is something that is within us that has called us to be different from those that are not the church. And if we start to no look different from not the church, what's the point? I did say last week that this isn't a self-preservation society. No church is. That's not what the church, with a capital C, is about. It's not a self-preservation society. It's not about, well, at least I know I'm sorted with God. That's all that really matters. What about the people who are no sorted with God? Our desire, our ultimate desire, is that we should see them in a place where God has impacted their lives. That God has preserved their lives. He's changed their hearts. People had turned away from God's instruction and guidance. This is going back to Romans 1. He gave them over to their sinful natures. And the list of sins includes gossips and slanderers. And when you put it alongside the list of other things that are in there, you think, good grief. We should. Because gossip and slander is just as bad as any other sin. It might be a different consequence related to society. Whereas if you murder somebody, which is also a sin, you'll end up in prison for a considerable amount of time. Whereas if you gossip, you probably won't. But in the eyes of the Lord, is there a difference? Sin, sin. And we see through that passage just how serious the sin of gossip is. And it characterizes those that are under God's wrath. So people who live a constant life where they're gossiping about other people are under God's wrath. It's a sobering thought. Proverbs 20 verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man, or we could put in a person, who talks too much. If you want to speak to somebody in confidence, you need to feel comfortable that you can do that. And that it's not going to go anywhere. Because if you wanted it to be spread everywhere, you would have probably communicated it that way yourself. Anybody can engage in gossip simply by repeating something that they heard in confidence. You have betrayed that person who told you that. So, what you then need to do is you need to firstly go and apologise to them. And then secondly, go and apologise to whoever, how many of the people that you've told, because you've betrayed a confidence. They might not have told you that had they known that you would even go and tell one other person. And Proverbs has got a long list of verses that cover the dangers of gossip, the potential hurt that results from it. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbour, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. And also in Proverbs it says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossip tears things apart. There is no time ever that gossip is a good thing. It tears things apart. It brings disunity. Many, many friendships have been ruined over a misunderstanding that started with gossip. It's never, ever a good thing. It stirs up trouble, causes anger, bitterness, and pain among friends. But unfortunately, some people thrive on this. They enjoy it. And they look for opportunities to destroy others. But whenever, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but as soon as you confront somebody who has done this, they deny the allegations and answer with excuses and rationalizations. How can you rationalize tearing somebody else down? There's no rationalization for that. There's no justification for that. Rather than admitting wrongdoing, they blame somebody else or attempt to minimize the seriousness of the sin. Oh, but I only said this. You only saying this has completely destroyed the character of somebody else. The world would usually call it character assassination. And you've heard that. You've seen that. You've probably experienced it at some stage. Put yourself in the shoes you were in before when you heard it and think, I would hate that to ever happen to somebody else, and that's what we need to do with it. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. If we can guard our tongues, we'll be preserved from calamity. And in the book of James, he talks about how small the tongue is. But it talks about how small a spark can set off a forest fire, how small a rudder is in a ship, and yet it turns the whole ship around. And the tongue is a wee bit like that. There's a Japanese proverb that says something like, even though the tongue is a couple of inches wide, it can cut down a 6-foot man. And that's what the power we have in our tongues. If we surrender our natural desires to the Lord, he'll help us to remain righteous. If you don't say it, people can't repeat it. Somebody tells you something that's personal, that's private, that if other people found out about it, it wouldn't be good, then don't share it. Don't say it. I love some of the principles behind Judaism, but they have the Old Testament. Then they have various other writings that they allude to, like the Talmud and stuff like that. And there's a Hasidic writing in it, and it kind of tells this wee story about gossip makers. One such man had told so many malicious untruths about the local rabbi that, overcome by remorse, he begged the rabbi to forgive him. And rabbi, tell me how I can make amends. And the rabbi sighed. Take 2 pillows, go into the public square, and there cut the pillows open. Wave them in the air, and then come back. So the rumour monger goes to the diamond, cuts open 2 pillows with feathers in them, and shakes them ferociously, and all the feathers come. And then he goes back and he goes and says to the rabbi, I did just what you said, rabbi. The rabbi says, that's good. Then the rabbi smiled and says, now to realize how much harm is done by gossip, go back to the square. Why? Go back to the square and collect all the feathers. And that's what he said to him. Romans, it talks about that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says that the wicked are not the children of God, and they're no heirs of eternal life. And then it lists gossip. Now, I'm not talking about people that has ever committed one of these sins, that they'll be denied entrance to heaven. But what differentiates the Christian life from that of a non-Christian is the struggle against sin and the ability to overcome it. Because we don't have to overcome it on our own. Because when we got saved, Jesus saved us. We asked him into our life to change our lives. And some of us just need to wonder, how much has that change done in our lives? I don't just mean in here. I mean in the church. Are we allowing God to do that what he said he wanted to do in our lives? Or are we just blatantly disregarding it? A true Christian will always repent, will always eventually return to God, and will always resume the struggle against sin. But the Bible gives no support whatsoever for the idea that a person who perpetually and unrepentantly engages in a sin can indeed be called a Christian. Because that doesn't make you any different from the way you were before.
No.
1 Corinthians lists sins that, if indulged in continuously, identify a person as not being redeemed by Christ. So, we'll go to the kind of easier, more practical side of things, eh? One of the things I said last week is that we have in here, because we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we have a wee thing called the prophetic protocol in the Lakes Vineyard Church. But, and that's a great thing. It's really nice. And it's, oh, God's really blessing us and he's using us to speak into people's lives. Great. But sometimes things like this are needed to speak into people's lives. And we need to have a protocol in this church. Now, I can't talk about any other church, but in this church, we're going to have a protocol that deals with gossip. And we're going to adhere to that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, I'm aware that in our church, we've been here, what, over 3 years, things have been said by various different people. Do you know what? The police have this thing every now and again called an amnesty, where people can hand in all their weapons and stuff. We're going to have an amnesty, where anything that's been said up to now, it's water under the bridge. Okay? Listen, I would appreciate if there is anybody has an issue with somebody, if it's with Charlene and I, come and tell us. Don't go and tell somebody else. Come and talk to us, or we'll come and talk to you. That's the easiest way to put it. But if we have a gossip protocol, then we all know what we're doing. And this is what, way back in 1752, okay, this is what John Wesley did. John Wesley was a great guy. He was a great man of God. He was a Methodist. Well, he was actually an Anglican, but he formed Methodism. He died an Anglican, but we won't hold that against him. And so he says this, six things, okay? That we will not listen or inquire willingly after ill concerning one another. Do we have this? Yeah.
No.
If we do hear any ill of each other, we will not believe it. That as soon as possible, we will communicate what we hear by speaking or writing to the person concerned. My advice is don't put it in writing. Don't email it. Don't text it. Because there's no feeling behind when you receive an email. There's no feeling behind, so people don't know the attitude and how you're saying it. And it can be very easily misconstrued. But worse than that, people can print it out and have it in writing, and they can show it to anybody they want. Don't do it that way. just trying to protect you. But as soon as possible, we will communicate what we hear by speaking or writing to the person concerned. That until we have done this, we will not write or speak a syllable of it to any other person. That neither will we mention it after we have done this to any person. So once it was spoke about, that was it. It was gone. It was in the past. And that we will not make any exception to any of these rules unless we think ourselves absolutely obliged, and then only in conference. So, if you hear something about somebody, or you hear that somebody has spoke about you, follow the biblical mandate. You know the guy Jesus that we believe in, and what he said? And he said, go and speak to the person. If you have an issue with your brother, go and speak to your brother. Or if you have an issue with any person, go and speak to them. Don't let it fester. That's when it becomes bad. So, how can I deal with my own gossip? So, as I say, there's an amnesty here. There was never ever an accusing finger pointing at anybody. You know, if there was, it would be like the, you know, the big Kenny Everett ones, when he had the big huge hands and it was the big finger. It would have been pointing, and that usually would have pointed generally because they were so big. So there's no finger being pointed at anyone here. I have to clarify that. But here's what we need to do to deal with the gossip in our own lives. Okay? See gossip as a serious sin and confess it to God. Confess it to him. Do we have this? Yeah, we do. Great. And one of the main reasons that we don't deal with gossip is we don't see it as a big deal. It's not seen as a bad sin. Like adultery, murder, armed robbery. You know. So we rationalize it and we tolerate it. But we need to recognize the destructive power that gossip has. And confess and forsake the sin and gossip. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs says. A worthless man digs up evil while his words are as a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Secondly, realize that you can't conquer gossip in your own strength. That's why we asked Jesus into our lives. We couldn't do it ourselves. We needed help. We still need help. Nothing's changed. Nothing will change. We'll always need help. Realize that we can't do this in our own strength, and ask him. Ask him to guard the door of our lips that we don't sin. Watch over what it is. We say, submit your tongue to God as an instrument of righteousness. That sounds like a right mouthful, doesn't it? Don't let sin reign in your body. Think about what you say. Pray that the words that you speak would be, I don't know, be spiritual, that it would be like apples of gold and settings of silver, something like that. But you've got two options. Either you serve sin or you serve God. And memorizing some Bible verses is probably going to help. Things that are related. There's 127 to choose from, so do you know there's quite a few there. You don't need to memorize all of them. 10% would be just 12. That would be great. Then make a commitment to build others in Christ, not to tear them down. Like in the wee video, we should know better. So, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for the building up of others according to their needs. Why don't we focus on a verse like that? You don't even need to focus on 12 to memorize. Memorize that. It's great. Kind of think about, have you ever bitten into a rotten piece of fruit? It's just no nice. You want to spit it out of your mouth, then you want to rinse your mouth out, and you're still doing that an hour and a half later. And that's how we ought to feel about any speech that comes out our mouth that negatively affects other people or tears them down. You eat something and you're like, oh, and it's just disgusting. Think of it like that. That's right. Then number five, fill your life with meaningful work. Sometimes we get into the whole thing, the gossiping, because we're not doing anything else. It's kind of like there's an element of idleness. I'm not saying it's always that, but sometimes it is that. And if we fill our life with meaningful work, then we'll have less time to gossip. Examine your motives for sharing information about another person. Why do I need to share this? Is this going to build up the person who told me? Or am I just doing this to make them feel bad? Because if this gets out that the other people do know. That's why in gossip we whisper like, did you hear about the Hendersons? I heard Tom Henderson lost a job this week. Like in the video. Why do we whisper it? Because we really don't want other people to hear us, but we're eager to share it. Then, dealing with your own gossip, refuse to listen to those who want to spread gossip. So if somebody comes to you and says, have you heard about, you're like, can I just stop you there? I really don't want to go there. I appreciate that you want to chat. Let's chat about something else. Let's not chat about somebody where it's going to put them down. It's going to make them feel bad. Is this going to lift them up? Is this going to build them up? Is this going to encourage them?
No.
And if the answer's no, then don't do it. And it's not a long, drawn-out process to do that. So you can deal with the gossip in your own life like that, but how do you deal with the gossip in other people's? Somebody comes to you and they're like, oh, did you hear about the Hendersons? Then you just say, what's your reason for telling me? Is it so that we can be a solution to that issue? Or is it something else? Then say, I'm not the one to talk to about this. Maybe you should go and speak to them. Secondly, where did you get this information? In 1 Corinthians, Paul was open about the source of his information. I have been informed concerning you, my brothers, by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. So if you're going to do it, do you know, I've been informed by wee Harry that you've been saying this. Be a whistleblower. Get it out in the open. Gossip will soon stop. Then, Jesus, have you gone to those directly involved?
No.
Jesus was clear. If you have a problem with your brother, go directly to him and seek to clear it up. If that hasn't been done, then there's no interest in helping restore somebody, but only in spreading gossip. Have you personally checked out all of the facts? Because oftentimes gossip's based on misinformation. So, Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. So somebody comes to you, have you heard about wee Jackie? No, I haven't, but have you personally checked this out? Do you know this is true?
No.
That could be the thing that makes somebody think. And then lastly, this is what's going to nip it right in the bud. This is great. So simple. And oftentimes we just forget that such a question could ever exist. And it's this: have you heard about such and such? No, but can I quote you if this checks it? Alan Scott done it. We were part of Causeway Coast and somebody came in and they were like, Alan, how are you? Oh, have you heard about such and such? And Alan just says, let me stop you right there. Give me a second. Picked up the phone and phoned the person. How are you? I've got such and such in here is telling me about you. Do you want to come down and we can have a conversation? And hung up. That's a surefire way to deal with it, isn't it? Pretty much stop it there and then. So, a gossip doesn't want to be quoted because he or she's not sure of his facts and he doesn't want to be involved in the solution. It's just not a good thing. Dave, can you put the last one up for me, please? Do we have it? Oh, well, there, that one. Aye, that's good. I forgot this existed. So, there's three gatekeepers. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? So you just say, somebody comes to you, have you heard about, like, can I just ask you, is this true?
No.
Is this kind? Is it going to build them up? And is it necessary? Do we need to talk about them? Do we need to talk about this? So, there should be a last one, Dave, a colourful one, next one. There. Gossip dies when it hits a wise person's ears. I want to be wise. I might have the grey hair that suggests that I am, but I want to be wise. I don't want to just have the look. I want to be wise. And so if somebody comes to me with gossip, I want to be wise so that it dies. And I would love that to be the case with all of us. Because if we were to confront the issues, if we were to address the elephant that's in the room, we would get somewhere. And so if you have an issue, if you have a concern with somebody in this church, let's just put it, if you have that with somebody in life, confront the issue. Confrontation is no good in Northern Ireland. We've experienced that. And people don't deal with confrontation well. They don't do it well and they don't receive it well. On this issue, we're doing it for the sake of good. We're doing that to avoid negativity. Negativity breeds negativity. We're doing it so that we can be wise, that we can live godly lives, that we get on with one another, that we don't let this poison simmer under the surface. There's ways to do it. It doesn't need to be challenging. Doesn't need to be aggressive and argumentative. You can just approach somebody and say, hey, how are you? Could we have a conversation? And I believe wholeheartedly that when we do it like that, that a whole load of issues will just be dealt with and they'll go. It's just not a good thing. Simmering away. Bubbling nicely. Nobody's willing to address it. The church would be a better place if it wasn't there. The world would definitely be a better place if it wasn't there. And it doesn't take much to deal with it. Listen, I thought as believers in Christ that we love one another. And there shouldn't be arguments and disagreements and bitterness. And if there is, let's deal with it. Is it that difficult?
No.
You're right, Serena, it's not. It's not that difficult. It takes a wee bit of courage. Cause it takes no courage to go and tell somebody something that's going to tear them apart, but it takes a bit of courage to deal with it wisely. And we can do that. If you have an issue with somebody else that's part of the fellowship, with somebody else that's no part of the fellowship, take the lead in it. Be the godly person. Go and approach them and say, hey, how are you? I have to talk to you about something because I have a bit of an attitude, or however it is. And just speak about it. It gets it out in the open. And then you can thrash it. Is this the truth? Is this no? And deal with it. Because I believe that a lot of that stuff that's bubbling away under the surface is based on half-truths or untruths. So we can do that if we want to get forward in our Christian walk. So if we want to develop and protect loving relationships in this church, we've got to deal with the sin of gossip. That's not the only thing. And there's a lot of things, and we're going to be looking at them in the next few weeks. How to address the elephant in the room. And if it's there, ignore it at your peril. Can you imagine being in a confined space with an elephant? It's dangerous. All it takes is for it to move unexpectedly in a certain direction and you're toast. How many of us could be toast if that elephant in the room takes an unexpected turn? Let's address it. Let's no ignore. It doesn't need to be a pink elephant or a white elephant. It's an elephant. And we just need to address it and recognise it's there. And then what do we need to do to deal with it? And deal with it. We need to confront it in our own lives before we confront it in other people's lives. All of us. We need to confront it. Then we've got to deal with it by refusing to listen to it and by gently correcting other people that try to spread gossip to us. Doesn't he always come across as a sinister thing? The women in the video were having a prayer meeting, apparently. That's how it can happen. So rather than telling the story about other people, why don't we start to love telling the story about Jesus? And let's hate to tell other people's story unless it builds up the body of Christ. Do you want to stand?